Jesus has come to the point in teaching his disciples concerning something that they are very familiar with, very, very familiar with. He's really dealing with like three pillars of the Jewish faith: how you worship God, how you live a godly life, a pleasing life unto God. And those three pillars include giving of alms to the poor, prayer, and then fasting. Now, we have covered the giving of alms, and we will be dealing with prayer for 4 weeks, and then we'll move on to that next pillar of fasting. So it's not that this is new to them, but Jesus makes it new. It's like the law. He didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it, and he's given a whole different understanding. And so he is to each one of these pillars, and including the one of prayer. Starting with verse 5, I'm in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Father, we humble ourselves before you today, and we just confess to you, like your disciples many, many years ago, who just said, "Lord, we've been praying, but we really don't know how to pray. Teach us to pray. We want to pray like you. We want it to be meaningful. We want it to be all that you want it to be. We need this." And so our request today, Lord, is not by the might or power of any human being, but by you, God, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. To the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Today our scripture, even though it's just two verses, will really fall into four categories. We'll be focusing on, first of all, the address. How do we address God when we approach him in prayer? Secondly, the first, second, and then third petition. So we'll be looking at the address, and then we'll be looking at three petitions that we find in these first two verses of what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's a lot of way to address people. Jill, you start in school, or have you already started?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, Jill Eilerman's back there, and we say, "Hi, Jill." You know, we know her. She's our sister in the Lord. We just say, "Hi, Jill." Now, probably Dave probably says, "Hey, honey," when he wants something, especially if he wants it really bad, or something even more soupier than that, maybe, you know, kind of syrupy. So there's a couple of titles there. But, you know, when she goes to school tomorrow, and students going to be there tomorrow? Oh, then it's Mrs. Eilerman. So there's a lot of different titles, isn't there? All one person. And so it is with God. And the disciples that have come forward to Jesus, they're just new disciples, and Jesus is just telling them, wow, I mean, everything's like upside down compared to the world versus the kingdom of God. And they've been taught to pray. But Jesus says, you know, when you come to pray, say, "Our Father, our Father, my Father." And you can change those. There's the blessings in saying "Our Father," but Jesus also refers to him, Matthew 11:26, "My Father." And this is pretty groundbreaking to them. And I hope today that we can break ground and get beyond the familiarity of the Lord's Prayer, and that the Lord will speak afresh and new to us. And the reason why I say that is I doubt if there is anyone here, no matter how many years you've walked with the Lord, or maybe you are a new Christian, that somewhere along the line you haven't found prayer as a struggle. I certainly have, and just even this past week, a man was talking to me, a godly man who has followed the Lord Jesus Christ for a number of years, grew up in a Christian home, served the Lord as an ordained pastor, minister. And he said, for the prayer request, he shared with me, pray for me. Prayer lately has been a real battle. And sometimes we get in those spots in life where it almost seems like there's a wall there. I remember talking to a dear early on in my ministry, a prayer warrior, and sitting across from her, one that I really admired, who, like I said, was a prayer warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember her saying to me, you know, sometimes the heavens just seem like brass. And I didn't think that ever happened to her, but it does. And so today, we go back to the very fundamental that Jesus teaches us about prayer and how we can persevere. And the key to prayer, the key to all the rest, is going to be in this very first line, and it is so simple we can easily rush over it. And when we do, we've made a huge mistake, and that is, how do you address God in your prayer? It's my Father, our Father. That is not in a legalistic way. You know, you're way off if you're thinking, you mean then you're telling me that every time I pray, I've got to say those right words. That won't mean anything, just saying right words. It is the relationship we're talking about. It is the blessing when we take time and reprogram. Remember Romans 12, Romans 12, 1 urges us in that first verse to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. And then in the second verse, and to have your minds renewed. Well, my mind needs renewed, and so does yours. And part of the way God renews our mind is as we go to Him in prayer and we call out to Him. And it's not just words, but it's from my heart. I'm remembering that the Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, He's my dad. He is my Father. And not just is He my Father, He's our Father. I'm not alone. I get to be in a big family. You know, I grew up in a small family, only had one sister growing up. And I know some of you are going to say, oh, you don't know what you were asking for, Steve. But I wish I had a brother. I admired my friends that grew up in a big family. And this week I was with the Brannons when Josh was going through his surgery and getting to know them better. And I said, I didn't know. I said, Martha, do you have any brothers or sisters? And those of you know why I'm laughing. You know, there are 16 kids in that family. And they're tight. They're close. What a blessing to be part of something like that. And so there is a blessing in saying, my Father, yes, personally, but also our Father. It reminds me, it refreshes, it renews my mind. I'm not alone. As I grew older, I recognized God was answering my prayer. And you'll probably even notice sometimes still in my language, but it's not just language. It's my belief. It's my, it's to me, it's truth. Calling one another, my sister in the Lord, my brothers and sisters, I'll address you because you are my brothers and sisters. And now I get to be in a larger family, and I get those brothers that I had wished for, and I'm grateful for them. And God uses the brothers and the sisters to help me through life. Some might say, oh, you don't, and you've heard this excuse, I'm sure, used. Well, You know, when you address God as your father, well, that's good for you, Steve, if you had a good father. But what about all these poor people who had terrible fathers? And, you know, woe is them. And then you surely won't want to use this name. Well, of course you will. And using that as a crutch that I can't get through life because of, I didn't have a perfect father is ridiculous. It's, it seems like every time I stand up here, sooner or later, I call something hogwash. But it's hogwash. And it's just a blame excuse. Because you know what I have found going through? Yeah, there are people who have had lousy fathers. One of my closest brothers in the Lord lost his dad in a car accident when he was about 4 years old. So he doesn't really remember his real dad. But his mother remarried. And the fellow that she remarried, I mean, I got to know a little bit. And I don't know how, he was one of the strangest birds I have ever known. And I have known a lot of people. And he was not a good father. Alcoholism played a part, but I mean, he was really wired strange. And my buddy had a brother, and his, just 1 year older, and his older brother never amounted to anything, never grew up, just kind of floated through life. You know, the hippies, remember that time? But he never got out of that stage. He got stuck. And to this day, he's like in some halfway house out in California. Let's see, he'd be about 60 years old. But what about my buddy that I talked to you about? Well, you know what? He came to Christ. Christ breaks the circle. And he instinctively, and I believe we know, because even people who have bad fathers will say, that's not the way a father is supposed to be. How do they know that? See, they know what a father should be. And my good brother in the Lord knew what a father should be. And furthermore, the Word of God showed him, and Christ enabled him and empowered him to be the father that he should be. And here is my friend who had a very unusual fathering situation, and yet he had three sons, and today two of them are in full-time Christian service, and the other one is very active in his church in different capacities. So that doesn't work. What I'm getting at is we know what a father should be. And then we are approaching none of us had perfect earthly fathers, okay? We all made lots of mistakes, and by the grace of God, our kids turned out. But when we go to prayer, we are praying to our Heavenly Father, our perfect, loving Heavenly Father. And the whole approach of this, again, is not to just say right words, it's to understand relationship. I am coming to the throne of the Lord God Almighty, King of all kings. His kingdom will reign forever. And I'm his child. And I can call him my father. I don't care how the different people around President Obama call him Mr. President, this and that. Those two girls of his, I'll bet, get his ear probably even quicker than his wife. Daddy, and he's all ears, ready to listen. We come to the throne of grace, and we remind ourselves we have this relationship. Now, when I say this is key. Until we can approach God and we meditate and we recognize, yes, who he is, but he is my father, don't bother rushing on. Now, granted, if you fell in some water and you don't know how to swim, cry out, help me, and he'll be there. I know, you can give me other situations where this may not work. But really, just as when people read the 23rd Psalm, you know, the 23rd Psalm really is useless until you catch on to the first, the Lord is my shepherd. David, that's a testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Then all the rest of this is going to be a part of my life. But if that first line isn't true, and I don't have that nailed down, that the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd, the rest is just a bunch of nice thoughts. And so it is in prayer until I recognize the relationship. My mind is renewed again. And I the reason why the scripture talks about that is because that is a necessary function of our minds, is to be renewed by the Spirit, and we come. We quiet ourselves before Him. We recognize who He is, and He is. He's my Father, my perfect, loving, Heavenly Father. And once we spend some time meditating on that and realizing that, that begins to change our whole heart and mind of what we recognize we need and how we're going to pray. When we recognize that this God allows you and I to call Him Daddy, my Father, our Father, the first request then becomes not give me, give me, give me, but the first request becomes for Him, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. O Father, may your name be glorified. May it be revered throughout all the earth. Hallowed be your name. That request is basically saying, may your name be kept holy, Father, and set aside, because you are God, you are Father, you are like no other. May your name be treated with reverence. Not now, notice, as we have learned through the Ten Commandments, that we would not take God's name in vain. Now we go a step further and we recognize not only are we to not take it in vain, but I need to live out every day with a reverence for His name. The name of God is how He reveals Himself to us. His names are revelations to us. And each one needs to be revered and honored and trusted in and believed in. You see, through His names, God, from the very first chapter of Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. God there is Elohim. Elohim is the Almighty who creates, who takes that which did not exist and He brought it into existence. And right away as we meditate on this, hallowed be your name. You are God Almighty who creates this way. We, again, are renewing our minds and we want His name to be honored and trusted in. A little further, we find that God is Yahweh. He is the self-existent one. He always was, is, and will be. He is the self-existence one, and that comes up very clearly when Moses shows up before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, well, who in the world are you representing? And he says, I am. I am that I am sent me. And Pharaoh got the message. Wow, this is truly God. And El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. There's nothing that you need that God does not have the ability to supply. He is Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who will provide, even right down to the Son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world when it is His only begotten Son. He is the Yahweh Sekenu. He is our righteousness. There is no righteousness in us. The best effort we can make is nothing but a filthy rag, so He imparts our righteousness to us. He is the Lord our righteousness. He is the Lord our banner who goes before us in all spiritual battle. He is the Lord our Rophi, Yahweh Rophi, the Lord our shepherd. He is Rophi, the Lord our healer. He is Shalom, the Lord our peace. Interestingly given in one of the bloodiest books of the Bible, the book of Judges, war, war, war. And yet God chose there in that midst of all of that to reveal himself, I am your peace. You will not find peace in the world, but I give you a peace, Jesus later says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Now, we think on the Lord. He is my Father. Lord, hallowed be your name. That applies for me. God, through this day, similar as Jeff was praying earlier, let my life revere your name, trust in your name, bring honor to your name. Lord, let my marriage glorify your name. Lord, let my family and the way we function glorify your name. Let my church family, covenant community, all that we do from our worship to our daily acts, let it glorify your name. Lord, let Coldwater become a community that honors and glorifies and reveres your name from the heart. Lord, let it be for my country. Lord, let it be throughout the world. Let it be, Lord, for those Muslim nations that sometimes we fear and think of them as our enemy. God, we're praying just as when we were his enemy, and Luke taught us a few weeks ago, hey, we were the enemy, but yet God loved us and how we are to love our enemies. You see, what a difference this will make, not only pleasing to God, what a difference this will make to you and our worlds when God's name is glorified. So these are priorities here. And we really catch on that we want his name to be glorified, remember, by getting the first step in place. Our Father, my Father, let your name be honored and glorified. Now, second petition, your kingdom come. We're not talking about boundaries. We're not saying, let us go blast Iran off the face of the earth. I'm not saying I don't like the nuclear situation and all, but I'm just saying it's not about boundaries, it's not about lines, it's not about acreage, and it's not about walls. This is not how God's kingdom is advanced. God's kingdom is advanced soul by soul. When you heard the Holy Spirit convicting and convincing you of sin in your life, and you knew God was holy, and you heard the good news that Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son, and that he was offering you the gift of life and life eternal if you would repent of your sin, ask him to forgive you of all your sin, and you gave your life. That was a choice that you made in your soul, in your very will box inside of you. And you said, I choose no longer to rule myself. I give myself to Christ. And when you gave yourself to Christ, Jesus said, whoever loses his life shall gain it. And that's exactly what he did. He forgave you of your sin, and the Holy Spirit came in. He didn't leave you empty. And the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit came into your life. And the kingdom of God advances soul by soul. And then, of course, that new birth turns into this whole process that Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. When we pray this second petition, Lord, thy kingdom come, we're praying that he would be the king of my life. Now, just think about that, how often the Lord's Prayer is prayed in different situations. I wonder if all of those people really want him to be king. See, it's one thing to say a word, but Jesus says, mean this from your heart. Lord, your kingdom come. We're saying afresh and anew, Jesus, be king of my life, be king of my marriage, be king of my family, and right on down the line. And furthermore, when we pray the second petition, we are praying evangelism. This is evangel. What do we think of evangelism? We think of, well, people coming to Christ. This is exactly what we are praying when we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, soul by soul. Thy kingdom come in cold water. May many men, women, teenagers, and children come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is a prayer. This is a request of evangelism that honors God, because Jesus is King and He deserves to be, and He desires to be the King of each one of our lives, both in here and out there and on the other side of the world today, in places that we'll never even maybe even hear of, but He knows them. Lord, your kingdom come. And thirdly, your will be done. While it's a lot easier to repeat this than to pray it, thy will be done day by day. This requires me, that Romans 12, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, I know what I want, but here is my life. Take it. You do with it what you want. I know what my plans are, and my plans are of the flesh. I shove them aside and I say, here is my life. Now, Lord, what are your plans for me? This is for every child of God, to lay their life as a living sacrifice, to come to grips and say, you know what, Lord, I do believe what you said in Isaiah 55. I believe your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are better than my ways. You love me like no one else. You desire always what is best for me. So here is my life. Paul says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He has shown us that he wouldn't stop giving us the very best, even when it cost him his son, Jesus. So how will he surely not give us all good things? So why don't we lay our lives on that altar and pray this, Lord, your will be done. That's what Jesus did in the garden. It was not easy. It was extremely hard, knowing that the will of God was the cross. Lord, can't this cup pass from me? Jesus prayed Matthew 26. But the answer was no. This is the best way. This is my plan of salvation. And Jesus laid himself out before the Lord and allowed himself to be nailed on the cross and to take my sin and your sin upon him. And yet he had the power to overcome. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus says, all those who will come after me must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow. Do we really believe, even when we can't see it, even when it feels hard, painful, the tears flow, but still do we believe in our heart of hearts, but I know that God loves me. I know His will is best for me. I will trust Him with my very life now and life eternal and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Again, sometimes we have heard people pray this, but realize what Jesus is teaching us here. Are we ready to lay our lives on the altar? Are we ready to put our plans aside and say, Lord, not my will, but thine. You lead. When you put forth your sheep, Jesus, you go before them and your sheep hear your voice and they follow. John 10:4. Are we wanting to follow our own desires and really be the king of our life? Are we ready to follow the good shepherd? Jesus teaches us, listen, think about who your God is. And now through his son, he has allowed you to be his adopted child into the kingdom of God. And you come before the Lord God Almighty and call him Father. You pray that every day that you will bring honor and glory to his name, that his name would be hallowed in your life, in all that comes to your ability and power to hallow and to honor his life. You pray that his kingdom will continue to advance, and that in his kingdom, his will be done. You pray it for others, but he says, Steve, you pray it for yourself. Jesus here is giving us a structure, a guideline. He never said, he wasn't trying to teach them, you just say these words and that takes care of it. After all, what do you think he was doing when he prayed all night before he the next day selected the 12 disciples? He was all night in prayer. Do you think he was just quoting this over and over again? But when we use this as a structure, as an outline, it gives us the points that we need to cover in our life, for ourselves, again, for our marriages, for our families, for covenant community, for Coldwater, for our country, and for our world. Father in heaven, you know our weaknesses, our frailty. Yet thank you that in your word you can be so basic. May you help all of us in this coming week to fully recognize more and more who you are, and that through Jesus Christ our Savior, you are our Father. Oh Lord, the love that you want to pass on to us, the security you want to pass on to us, the peace and the state of well-being, knowing that you are our Father, may you minister to us. And Lord, if there are those who are struggling particularly with prayer, we just ask on, you know exactly who they are, we just pray that those boulders that seem to be stuck